This episode of Enterprise Radio is brought to you by the Before It Happened podcast series. From transportation and AI to just anything you can put in your home, office, or pocket, you'll hear from the innovators themselves as they tell their stories of how they brought those visions to life. To listen in or to subscribe, simply visit beforeithappened.com.
Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Today, we're speaking with Cynthia Payne, the CEO of Anchor Excellence, a management and consulting firm working to bring about an aged care system framed by the lived experience of older Australians. And Cynthia, thanks for joining us here today on EPN.
Oh, my absolute pleasure. Great to be with you.
So, Cynthia, you founded Anchor Excellence back in 2018. What was your driving force to launch Anchor Excellence?
A couple of factors here. I think a background of advanced leadership in the sector at a very young age. So I actually started in the industry in my early 20s, and in that course of my career, I landed in a CEO role quite early. And so part of my driving force was, I think, at an early age on leadership. And as a result of all of that, improvement and impact that I had, I thought instead of going to another organisation, I decided that my next phase of impact would be a really ambitious goal of actually impacting the entire sector. And that's what we've done in 3 years, nationally, collaboratively, and with leaders who care about the industry as much as I do. We've already made a significant impact. So the driving force, absolutely personal motivation, as well as a desire to really make a difference.
And your sincere care about the industry that you're in makes a huge difference right there as well. Now, you became a CEO at 33. What are the three pivotal lessons you've learned so far in leadership? I'm sure listeners could come away with some takeaways there.
I really remember back to when I was offered that really pivotal opportunity to step up as a CEO. And I think when anybody steps up into their first role, they wouldn't be honest if they weren't actually having some, I guess, doubt or, you know, in that internal dialogue inside your head, am I ready? Am I going to actually be successful? It's a big move to go from a senior executive role to actually being the person who's ultimately accountable for what's going on. And I think my first comment is you've got to step up sometimes, even if you're not sure if you've got the experience or the answers. And being brave and courageous, I encourage leaders to do that all of the time. And I think that harks back to my own personal experience. I think the second one is, and I like the term leaning in, because it really helps us construct what it means to pull in a direction and genuinely lead. And so my second message is around leaning in even when things get tough. And I think if we look globally what's happening around every country right now, we're being challenged with circumstances that we really haven't experienced before, which is sometimes very similar to a leader who steps up for the first time, and particularly in a CEO role. Leaning in and when things get tough really builds capability, it builds resilience, and I encourage leaders to do the same thing. So that's kind of my second message. The third one is, and this is really pointing to the pivotal role of being the most senior leader in the team, and that is really get to know your team well enough so that you can actually help them to be their best version and the most effective. Because if we think about leadership in particular, and the Anchor Excellence mission is about impacting the quality of aged services, creating a system we're proud of, but more importantly, our promise is about people, that we are leaders enabling leaders, and any leader is worth their salt when they get to know people and can encourage them to actually do things that maybe they've never done before, maybe they have self-doubt in themselves, and, you know, helping people rise to be that best version of themselves. I mean, honestly, that's probably the most rewarding outcome I think any leader could look back on in their career. So that shifting of doing it at an organisational level and then saying, okay, 2018, let's ramp it up, let's go for a whole sector mission, and let's impact much more people. I could go on, but I think they're the kind of the three that really stand out in my mind.
Well, those are certainly some great examples of pivotal lessons learned in leadership, and I'm sure you, like you said, you could go on, but thanks for sharing those with us. Now, as an organization that mentors and supports aged care facilities walk through change, how do you approach dealing with ingrained cultures that need to shift?
Well, I think the first thing I would say, and this is, I guess, a unique thing sitting on the consulting side as opposed to actually being the CEO. Obviously, if you're the CEO of the organisation, you have ultimate authority, you've got accountability. When you're working from a consulting perspective, your toolkit is more about influence and, again, leadership through and with people. So we have a particular, I guess, approach that really works because a lot of our programs are what I call change management at speed, because as a result of the changes in the industry, many of our clients are catching up. So the regulatory environment within the aged care sector has actually undergone change. And so when we call for some of our programs, we have to move in, and risk is a driving force. So the first thing we like to do is really discover. And when I use the term discover here, we're really sizing up our clients' capabilities for leadership and governance. Because ultimately, if they've ended up on the wrong side of the regulator, we've got to always start with leadership. Leadership is a driving force for success in a business, as well as alignment to the customer drivers. Now, in the aged care sector, that happens to be older consumers and their families, but it's a universal driver for every business. We want to make sure that we have a good understanding of where they're at so we can put in a tailored mentoring and coaching approach that's going to work for them. And then the second thing we do is we really engage the broader stakeholder groups. We have to size up the organisation, and we take a leadership position. We just assume that we are going to be directing and guiding and working with the client and the key decision makers. And from that, we always put together a really concise plan that the client signs off on, and we also build accountability matrices. I'm a huge advocate of good clarity in role and accountability. That's how high-performing teams come together, when you've got everybody understanding exactly what place they have in the team and how they'll affect the outcome. And then we work really hard on our training element, so really building capability within the governance, the leadership, the staff who are providing the direct care, and we craft in that plan a whole range of key metrics, because obviously, like any business, you've got to have the metrics driving actually, are you making a difference? So we set down those metrics so that we can actually track success. The benefit, of course, is to the organisation. They've got some type of external validation that what we're doing is making a difference. They're improving. And then we revert back to really checking in with those core drivers, which for me are the consumers, so older people and their families, and we really put in an engagement process to find out actually are the differences impacting them. And the second key group, which is absolutely critical in any human service organisation, is its staff, its workforce. And so we revert back to measure how is it going for the workforce. And that's a really tough environment in Australia, and I think even globally right now, as we see workforce shortages. So we've got to really support people to retain their workforce and make sure that we're getting the best out of them, but creating a good reason to stay engaged. And that evaluation, when the consumer, the older person, is saying if their life is better, that's what we talk about, lived experience, that's when we know it's absolutely making a difference. And when we build confidence in families and in the staff, that's when the real capability gets laid down. Those foundations really build from there. And we know our work is done. We can get to the end of the client assignment and know we've absolutely fulfilled our promise.
Well, I certainly do appreciate your thorough coverage and your response there, and a lot could be gained and taken away from your response there. Really do appreciate that. Now, this episode of Enterprise Radio, again, is being brought to you by our partners at the Before It Happened podcast series. Before any world-changing innovation, there was a moment, an event, a realization that sparked the idea. The Before It Happened podcast series is a show about that idea. Each week, host Donna Laughlin takes a deep dive into a singular light bulb moment that inspired the visionaries to push forward and change our lives. To listen in or to subscribe, visit beforeithappened.com. Again, that is beforeithappened.com. Today, we're joined by Cynthia Payne, CEO of Anchor Excellence, a management and consulting firm working to bring an aged care system framed by the lived experiences of older Australians. And she's joined us here today on Enterprise Radio, part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, continuing on, Cynthia, what value do you see in nurses entering the aged care industry, and what supports are necessary for new employees to ensure they remain engaged in aged care?
Well, we only need to live through a pandemic, don't we, to really value our nurses and understand the important role they have. And that is absolutely true for the aged care sector. And the industry, and globally, aging societies are growing pretty much in every part of the world. And so where we see segment growth, we also need workforce growth. And we need the skills mix and the complexity, which nurses in particular do bring. We need other members of the team, but we love to focus on the importance of nurses in the aged care industry, because they are the foundation of what pulls together that lived experience, because they take a leadership role in supporting the allied health. They take a leadership support role in engaging with consumers and their families. So they're really what I would call the keystone elements of the workforce. So we want to create an opportunity for them to grow and encourage them to choose a career in nursing, but also choose a career in aged care, because there's a lot of choice for young people with their careers right now. And the second opportunity they have is to make an impact. When you've got a growing segment like health services around the world, it means you've got opportunity not only in the country that you're educated in, but you've got the opportunity to actually take that capability globally. And we do see a lot of transient movement, obviously not right now in a pandemic, but in general terms, people working and making a big difference elsewhere. And there's opportunity for nurses to even diversify their skill set. So it's not just a one-path career option. So nurses entering the industry can take a clinical pathway, they can take a leadership and management pathway, they can get really specialised. So if I think about the specialty of aged care, they can really focus on what we call gerontic care or specialist aged care, which is very complex in its own right. Or you can move into the emerging technologies such as information management, assistive technologies. There's so much genuine opportunity that this growth is going to bring globally. So I'm obviously biased. I started my career as a nurse 30 odd years ago. And if I reflect back to when I was in my 20s thinking about, well, what did I want to do with my career, I knew I wanted to have opportunity and choice. And I think this is where health services really do create, because you can go into the healthcare system, the primary healthcare system, the preventative system. I mean, look at right now, pandemic, into specialty infection control. There's so much choice. And so I just encourage the consideration of younger people that this is a valid career pathway. And it's something we support as well. We have a new graduate program, so we also build capability in these entering nurses into aged care to understand that aged care is not just a general pathway, it is a specialist pathway. And we've got to really kit them up for success, because that's how we're going to retain them. When they're supported, they're nurtured, they feel valued. And I can't stress enough the feeling valued component. That's when the magic happens, and we get great people joining the sector.
Great information there, and thanks once again. Now, in Australia, I understand the aged care industry has just undergone a once-in-a-lifetime review. Can you tell us about the Royal Commission in Aged Care Quality and Safety and what must change, and how does Anchor Excellence facilitate this change?
Look, that's a really great question. And I think 2 years ago, most people in the industry thought that the Australian aged care system was in reasonably good shape. But I think what the Royal Commission into Quality and Safety unpacked was that actually we still have a long way to go. And it really has set down the reform agenda. The Royal Commission was a two-year review and covered a lot of territory associated with quality and safety. And what they identified is that we actually have very systemic issues in the sector. There was prevalent reporting of issues associated with abuse, and this is a broad term because it's about harm being caused by other consumers to consumers, so assaults, issues between workforce and consumers where the skill mix wasn't correct and harm. Use of what we call restrictive practices or restraint inappropriately, good care routines not being sufficient, and again, we're getting a bit technical here, things like the development of pressure injuries, issues associated with mobility, continence, and insufficient capability for what is a really growing area of complex care. And in particular, the call out here is supporting people with dementia, again, a global phenomena. How we support people with dementia is that cognitive deficit increases. They experience what we call change behaviours, and those change behaviours can be really quite difficult to support at home, which is why sometimes people need to go into supported care. Readiness for good palliative care or end-of-life care. So this was a really, I guess, important uncovering of what's actually going to matter to the next generation of aged care services. And so what the Australian government did is they've actually gotten behind this Royal Commission, they've listened to the recommendations, and we've literally this year kicked off a five-year reform program. And part of that reform program is looking at changing the aged care system, so how it's governed, the policies, new standards. They're going to see a huge investment in provider governance because, again, that message around leadership is so key. Improving management capability, so services are improved in their management and in this complexity. Really investing in the workforce. So to go back to your last question, encouraging people to come into the industry because we're really in this rise now. Those baby boomers are getting older. They're suffering health issues, and so they're the people in particular that we need to gear up to support. And the final thing that the Royal Commission absolutely has said is everything's got to centre around the older person, and that means creating the whole system to be much more consumer-centric. And I think that's going to be the hard part. When you've got an industry and a system that's been a bit more focused on the provider side, it's always said that it's been consumer-focused, but really these changes are going to spin that really on its head, and that's going to cause some ripple effect to boards, ripple effect to systems, ripple effect to management and to staff. So how do we actually help that? Well, we help with transformation programs, supporting boards, so we build capability in boards to understand governance, good governance, what they need to do to navigate these changing dynamics, be agile. We provide that training and development, so really helping the industry to respond to those dynamics of change. And we mentor and coach, and again, we come back to that leadership driver. There's a lot of managers working in organisations that need that little bit of extra support and expertise and guidance, and they want to be in trusted hands. They want to know that the person who's mentoring them and guiding them will absolutely make a difference, and they've got a safe space to be able to clarify what they need to. And then finally, really specialist support. So we provide solutions that go to the complex issues, like policy, process, training, providing guidance around governance and clinical governance. So very technical, maybe a little bit more technical than your normal listeners would be hearing, but that's kind of the heart of what's happening here, the complexity of aged care. It's not just caring simply for an older person. It's an older person with lots of health issues, lots of cognitive issues that are emerging, and a growing demographic, so much, much more people coming down the system and the pipeline. And so we've got to make sure we line everything up, get the right people, the right governing approach, and be ready for this growth in the system.
Cynthia, can't thank you enough for your time spent with us here today on behalf of Anchor Excellence and what you do in the space there in Australia. Tell us where, I'm sure listeners want to know where they can get more information on Anchor Excellence and how they could be best in contact. Where's the best place online to do so?
Absolutely. Anchorexcellence.com. We've got a lot of online material. We provide a lot of our webinars, and these are actually of relevance globally. They're not just in the Australian context. So listeners who are in the aged care sector will certainly gain value from some of our content. And I'm just really pleased to have had the opportunity to talk with you today. Thank you so much.
Cynthia, you're more than welcome. Our honor and pleasure. Again, listeners, for more information and for contact, visit anchorexcellence.com. Cynthia, all the best, and thanks so much for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Thank you. Have a great day.
And you're more than welcome. You too. We've been speaking with Cynthia Payne, the CEO of Anchor Excellence, a management and consulting firm working to bring about an aged care system framed by the lived experiences of older Australians. And once again, for all the details, visit anchorexcellence.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune into our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.
This episode of Enterprise Radio was brought to you by our partners at the Before It Happened podcast series. Nearly 20 years ago, Donna Laughlin launched a public relations firm with the sole purpose of helping visionaries tell their story to the world. Now, two decades later, she's sharing those stories and more with you. To listen in or to subscribe, simply visit beforeithappened.com. Again, that is beforeithappened.com.